All right, Rabbi Yitzchak, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Beis, the Schwartzbaum family, for dedicating all the Shemar Drushals this month in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, Zichron Levracha, Leah Sol, in the schus of her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery and complete refuah shlema, for the safe return of all of our hostages and the success of our soldiers. Maya Hoffman, in memory of her father, Reuven Ben Emanuel, and in the merit of Hatzlacha, health and joy for her entire family. Oil and Sarah Kelman, in honor of the birth of their son, and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sassoon. And we dedicate our learning, Le'ilui Nishma, Staff Sergeant Nisim Kachlon. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Nisham Slav and Aliyah, the family Zayn Nechama, all of those who need refuah should have one together with Kol Uchol Yisrael. Each and every one of our hostages should be returned, and our soldiers in Meretz Hashem should be successful B'chol Ma'aseh Yadayhem. Well, so with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Baruch Hashem, some really incredible Gemara ahead of us. Let me just check that this is okay. Good. Some really incredible Gemara. So today's daf is Chav Test 29. And we are picking up Emiras Hashem on 28b at the two dots. Tan Rabbanan. About 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Actually, no, let's go like this. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the Mishnah. So I'll go to the bottom of the page. Tan Rabbanan. Barishona hiskinu shihu omrim. Anyone who lost an object, so let's say the way it used to work, in the good old days, you lost an object, and what would happen? You would come, the Gemara is obviously missing a part over here. In other words, someone would announce that they found an object, and they would make an item-specific announcement. I would show up, give a simon, they'd give me the object, Shalom al Yisrael. Mishirabu haramon. Well, so then what happened? There was a proliferation of dishonest individuals. So obviously, again, now, it's interesting to note when exactly this occurred, like what precipitated this change, I think more doesn't tell us. But when I said there was a proliferation of dishonest individuals, what was the halacha? It was fascinating. Hiskinu shi omrim lo tseva havi eidim delav ramai at. I will say this is incredible. When there was a proliferation of dishonest people, so the rabbis changed the system. What was the system? So I found an object. I announced it. And Reuven shows up. And Reuven says, oh, that's my object. What's the halacha? Say to Reuven, you have to bring witnesses that you are not a dishonest person. Now, I will say, now, that seems absolutely impossible. In other words, to go ahead and prove that you're not something, would seem to be an incredibly difficult threshold to cross. So you have to bring witnesses that you are not dishonest. So the Gemara tells a story over here. So we'll say, by the way, tragically, what does that tell you? It's an interesting window into the societal realities that the Gemara was dealing with over here, where it's almost like the presumed state status of an individual was that you're a rabbi. That's how prevalent apparently this dishonesty was in greater society. So you have to go ahead and bring witnesses that you're not a rabbi. Now, what does it mean to bring witnesses that you're not a rabbi? I'm going to tell us a story. It's an interesting story over here. The story of the father of Rav Papa. Irkis lechamra, he lost a donkey. Someone found the donkey. Aslu kamid rabbi barafuna. So ultimately, again, so apparently it was Rabbi Barafuna who found it, or the case was brought before Rabbi Barafuna. Amarle, and Rabbi Barafuna said to the father of Rav Papa, Zil Isi Sadil Ramayat, go bring witnesses that you are not dishonest. Vitol, and you can take your donkey. Azul Isi Sahadi. So the father of Rav Papa went ahead and brought witnesses to Beis Din. So Rabbi Barafuna said to them, Amarlehu, Yidi Asun Bei Diramahu. So Rabbi Rav Huna phrased the question to them like this: do you guys know if this individual, the father of Rav Papa, is he dishonest? Amrule in. The witnesses answered, yes. Okay, so the witnesses answered, yes, we know that he's dishonest. Amr Lahu Anna Rama. So the father of Rav Papa was obviously a bit incredulous about this. He says, what? You're testifying that I'm a rabbi? I'm really, no. Anan lav Ramai at Kamina. No. We meant to say you're not a Ramai. You know, you get confused. And as well say, Rashi points out over here, they were expecting a different question. In other words, they were saying to come to Beis Din, and they were expecting that this was a one question cross examination. What was the one question? To the best of your knowledge, is the father of Rav Papa not a Ramai? And they were expecting to say yes. So the question was phrased a little bit differently. Do you know that he's a Ramai? So they just said, yes. In other words, I will say, they were coached, not in a bad way, not in a way to lie, but they were just, this is like a procedural thing. You bring, as well as say, by the way, it's also interesting, that's what it means to bring witnesses, that you're not a Ramai. In other words, witnesses show up in Beis Din says to the guy, to the best of your knowledge, is this guy a Ramai? Right? And the witnesses say, no, that's it. So Amar Rav Ravuna, so we'll say, so now the Shaila, of course, was, what do you do with this testimony? So Rav Ravuna said, Mistabra lo maisi inish chovasal anafshei. So Rav Ravuna says, no, we could attribute this to just human error. And they really meant to say no, but they thought they were answering a different question, because it wouldn't make sense that the father of Rav Papa would bring witnesses who would indict him, right? That wouldn't make sense. So therefore, again, the Pashtos, we just attribute this to human error, we go forward. So I will say, a really fascinating idea, how Halacha L'maisa, the system changed. That's whereas we went from a system of saying, you show up, give your siman mufak, and move forward. So L'maisa, again, afterwards, there was this societal shift where you had to bring witnesses, essentially character witnesses. That's really what it is. You had to bring character witnesses who are able to testify that you're not a bad guy. Now, by the way, it's a pretty low threshold, right? That's it. They have to testify that you're not a rob, that you're not a dishonest individual. That's it. To the best of our ability, Plony is not dishonest. Then after that point, you can remember again, we're not dispensing with the simon, right? You still need the simon. You always need the simon in order to give back the object. But at least we need a character reference and a simon. Incredible. Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Kol davar sha'oseva ochel yaseva ochel." So we'll say now another very interesting. I'll also just point out something amazing. If you remember again from the Mishnah said that a Ramai, even if he gives a simon, you don't give him back the object. You don't give back the object. That's what the Mishnah said. That's why, again, and we both say this is the full circle. That said, the Gemara said, you're right, when there was this proliferation of dishonest individuals, giving a simon is not enough. You need a character witness and a simon. So we both say, it struck me so profoundly that here you have a guy, right? So let's just play this out. Right? So I find an object. I find the cloak. I announce, I find the cloak. Reuven comes along, and Reuven gives a simon that is a simon mufak. Simon mufak. You know, On the middle of the cloak, the warp and the woof. We just haven't used that in a while, so I feel like I want to get that in, right? The warp and the woof, right? Go ahead and change. Something really mufak. So what's the halacha? The halacha, sorry, I appreciate the simon. You need to bring a character reference, right? You need to bring a character reference. You are a rabbi. Or if you can't bring a character reference, that's it. I'm sorry, but he gave a simon mufak. But see, you see something amazing, that in life, sometimes we do things that fundamentally change us. And even after we regret, and even after you want to walk it back, you can't. There are certain things that we do in this world that are simply irreversible. It's the Gemara Maseches Brachos that says that there are certain actions, Shlomo Melech says, Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon. That which is bent cannot be made straight. So the Gemara, which Shlomo Melech seems to be saying, that there are certain actions, you know, we like to think that you could do tshuva for everything. So here's what's interesting. You can do tshuva for everything. But just because you could do tshuva for something does not mean that you could reverse engineer the actions. Does not mean that you could undo the realities you've created. So the Gemara gives an interesting example. The Gemara's example is, Zeh ha-molid mamzer. The Gemara gives an extreme example. Person engages in an act of adultery. And that union produces a mamzer. A mamzer. They will say, can you do tshuva for adultery? Can you do tshuva for adultery? Sure. Of course. You can do tshuva for anything. You can do tshuva for adultery. You can't reverse the effects of your actions. And I will say, this is a tremendous dichotomy that exists within Yiddishkeit. I can do tshuva for anything. But just because you could do tshuva for something does not mean that you could go ahead and reverse the impact of your actions. There are times in life we do things, and those things cannot be walked back. Those realities, I could change myself, I can. But the realities still remain in this world. And unless that's the Mishnah teaching us. You know, Reuven becomes a rabbi, a guy gave us a mavok, you're a rabbi. You're a rabbi. Now, again, you could do tshuva becoming a rabbi. But the point the Mishnah is teaching me is, there are realities that we create that we can't walk back. And therefore, be careful with what you do. Think before you act. Because even though on a spiritual level, I can do tshuva, sometimes I can't undo the realities that I create. Such an overwhelming gemara. Let's go back to Mishnah. Kol davar. Kol davar sha'osuvacha. Listen, sometimes we think to ourselves, this early in the morning is too early for deep lessons like this, right? I can't do deep lessons before like 9 a.m. and 5 cups of coffee, right? Once I hit that metric, I'm ready. I'm ready for heaviness. Give me, I don't say, but that's what it means to be a yid. What it means to be a yid is from the time you wake up in the morning until the time you go to sleep. It's real life all the time. Says the Mishnah. So we'll say, so now we come into some really interesting halachas over here. I find an object. So we'll say, let's now transition from our cloak to our sheep, right? Or to livestock, because that's where this is going to be most illustrated. So I find livestock. So we'll say, so now, okay, I have a mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. I'm going to hold on to it. What's the problem? It costs money to maintain livestock. It costs money. So now the Shaila is like, what do I do? So the Mishnah says, not a problem. Essentially, any item that has the ability to essentially self-sustain. So it has the ability to do work, and as a result of its work, ultimately again sustain itself, then you can keep up that process. Rashi says over here, Kol davar sha'osav ha'ochel, imaveda zu davar sheyicholin lahachilo es schar ma'asav. If the object you find is something that can go ahead and sustain itself through its own actions, kigon shar v'chamar, for example, a shar nachamar, right? So the shar nachamar, they could go ahead and work, and then ultimately, again, they could be sustained through the proceeds of their own work. So, v'lo yimkar oso hamotzim sho bala milidrosh. So, we'll say, so the idea over here is, you find an animal, or for that matter, any object, if the object can essentially support itself through its work, so allow itself to support its work. We'll say, what happens if you find something, and it costs money to sustain it, and it can't go ahead and pay for itself through its own work? So yimoker. So we'll say, the halacha is, you could sell it. So now you sell it, and you essentially put the proceeds on the side, waiting for the owner to come and to claim it. Shneamar vashevosa lo. The pasuk says you shall return the lost object to the owner. Re'ei hich tishivenu lo. So we'll say, the Mishnah explains that the halacha is, you are supposed to see what is the best way to return this object to the owner. In other words, so the finder has some level of discretion as to how the best way to return the lost object to the owner is. So this is a very important halacha. So this teaches me, by the way, two things. If I find an ox, so you always say, you would have thought, or I would have thought, if you find an ox, what's the halacha? You kind of put the ox in the barn, you know, leave it alone, feed it, take care of it until the owner comes. The problem is, that's going to be an expense for me. I'm obligated to perform a mitzvah. I'm not necessarily obligated to incur an expense with performing a mitzvah. So if I have an ox, I can rent it out, right? I can use it to plow, or I can use it to plow my own field. That's the halacha. And again, it generates income. That income could go ahead and sustain the ox itself. If I find something and it can sustain itself, the halacha is sell it, and that way again I'm locking in, I'm securing the investment, so to speak, of the lost object, and then I'll give back the money to the owner. So the Gemara says, "My hebedamin." So we'll say, let's say in the case where halacha l'maaseh said, I found an object and I sold it. What are my rights when it comes to the money? Rabbi Tarfon Ami Yishtai Mishpahim. Rabbi Tarfon says, I, the finder, have the right to use the money. So, I know I want to invest it. I want to do business with it. Obviously, I'm going to give it back to the owner when he claims his lost object, but I have some usage rights. Because I have usage rights, therefore, lefichach im avdu chai b'achri yusan. If they're lost, I am responsible to replace the money. Rabbi Kiva says, no, yushtam b'shvan. No, I have a right to sell the animal in order to go out and secure the investment or secure the money. Secure the object, financial value of the object. Once I sell that object, that money has to be set aside for the owner. And therefore, again, because I have no usage rights over the money, If the money is lost, I don't have responsibility for the lost funds. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Uli Olam. And here's what's interesting. In general, when you find an object, right? So am I obligated to just hold on to it and watch over it forever? Now the truth is, we already saw from the previous Mishnah, right, that that's not the case, right? You have three regalim and a week afterwards. But the shayla over here is when it comes to livestock, I will say, if I'm finding an animal, so that's a long time to watch over someone else's animal. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Nachman, Amar Shmuel, ad yud beis chodesh. You have 1 year, right? 1 year, right? 1 year is the max amount of time. So Tanya Yachir Brice that supports this. Kol davar she'osav ha'ochel kegon para v'chamar metalba b'hen ad yud beis chodesh mikan ve'elech sam demeim umanichon. So we'll say the Brice says as follows: anything that essentially self supports, like a cow or like a donkey, which again you could put to work, and there are proceeds from that work. So you hold on to it for a year. After that, ultimately, again, you assess the value of the animal, cash it out, right? Sell it and put the money on the side. When the owner comes and gives a simon for his animal, you give him back the money. So I'll say, now, interestingly enough, this halacha is subjective based on the type of animal we're talking about. Agalim usiyachin, right? So calves or young donkeys, metapel bahen shlosha chadashim. You hold on to them for 3 months. Mikan ve'elech sham demeyem umanichan. After that, you assess the value of the animal and sell it. So we'll say what you see over here is, remember, again, older animals are more capable of working, therefore could self-sustain for longer. Younger animals, not as capable of working, so therefore only have to hold on to them for 3 months, then could sell them, hold on to the money. Of zin v'tanagolim, geese and chickens. Metalban shloshim yom. You have to deal with them for 30 days. Mikan ve'elech sam demeim umanichan. After that, you assess it and you sell, put the money on the side. Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchok, tanagolas kibehem agasa. So Nachman Bar Yitzchok says a hen is like a large animal. We'll say, why? What's the logic? Because a hen could self-sustain with eggs. Okay? So Tanagolas Nachman Bar Yitzchok supports this. Tanagolas kibehem agasa. If you have a hen or you have a large animal, metapal bahen shneima sar chodesh. Ultimately, again, you deal with them. You know, as Taba means, you leave them as is for 12 months. Mikan ve'elech sam demehen umanichan. After that, you go ahead and you assess their value, sell it, and hold on to the money for the owner. Agolun usiyachin. Again, if you have calves or young donkeys, the Taba b'hen lamed yo mikan ve'elech sam demehen umanichan. Avzin v'tarnagolin. Geese and chickens, v'choldavar shetipula meruba mischaro, or for that matter, any item where the effort expended in caring for the animal is more than the animal actually generates, metapal b'hen shloshi yamim. You involve yourself with them for 3 days. In other words, you take care of it for 3 days. M'kan ve'ilach sam demein umanichan. After that, you go ahead and you evaluate the animal, sell it, and ultimately keep the money on the side for the owner when he claims it. I think you're supposed to have a contradiction. Kashi agalim usiyachin, agalim usiyachin. Avzin v'tarnagolim, avzin v'tarnagolim. We have machlokes, a steer between the two brises. Turish Gemara says, no. Agalim usiyachin, sorry. Agalim usiyachin, agalim usiyachin, lo kashya. Han diraya baha dipitumo. One is talking about, again, small chickens and geese. One is talking about larger chickens and geese. Young donkeys and young calves. One is talking about, again, or I should say, thin donkeys and thin calves. One is talking about larger donkeys and calves. In other words, Rabbi say one needs more tipul, one needs less tipul. There's also no contradiction between the case of the two statements of the geese and the chicken, habiravrivi, habizutri. Again, I'm going to say one is talking about larger ones, one is talking about smaller ones. Okay, good. So the Gemara says as follows. No, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I'm sorry. I'm going to say the case of the agal and the siyachin is not large and small. One is talking about grazing. I'm sorry, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, hadirai hadaptuma, hadik kanishlosha chadashim, be'aretz mira. The statement that said you hold on to them for 3 months is talking about where there's adequate pasture land. Right, ubizmana deshoim she'in tipula meruba. So there's not a lot of pasture land and a lot of grazing area. So there's not that much effort for me. That's when you hold on to it for 3 months. When it said 30 days, that's talking about a situation where there's not a lot of pasture land and not a lot to graze on, in which case, again, there is more effort for me, the owner. Ultimately, again, in the case of the geese and the chicken, right, also distinction of both sides between large ones and small ones. Large ones eat a lot, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, only have to hold on to them for 3 days. And ultimately, again, the smaller ones eat less, and therefore, I have to hold on to them for a longer amount of time. Okay, bottom line of both sides, what's the takeaway? Takeaway is that halacha lemaisa, first of all, these halachas are subjective, animal specific. The idea is that the animal, here's the rule. If the animal self-sustains, you're obligated to hold on to the animal itself for a longer amount of time, right? If the animal doesn't self-sustain, you're obligated to hold on to it for a lesser amount of time. But bottom line, for all animals, there does come a certain point in time where you assess the value, could sell it, and then hold on to the money for the owner until he claims it. Good. So the Gemara says, so, v'she'ino osav ochel, tan rabbanon, v'ashev osalo, re'eheich tishi venolo. So we'll say the Mishnah Darshan, the Pasuk of Vashevo, and now the Brice is saying the same thing, Vashevo Solo, you're obligated to return a lost object to the owner. So in the Gemara Darshan, that Pasuk to mean, Re'eh Heich Tishi Venulo. The finder has the right to figure out what is the best mechanism to return the lost object to the owner. Shelo Yachil Egel La'agolim, B'siach L'siachin, Avza La'avzin, V'tarnagol V'tarnagolin. Now, quite literally, what that means is you shouldn't feed a calf to the calves, or ultimately, again, a young donkey to the young donkeys, a goose to the geese, or a chicken to the chickens. Meaning what? That if you find, let's say, a group of these animals, you shouldn't sell off one and use the proceeds to sustain the group. So once again, the mechanism is either, if they're self-sustaining, allow them to self-sustain for a period of time, and then valuate them, sell them, hold the money. Or if they're not self-sustaining, valuate them immediately, sell them immediately, and put the money on the side for the owner. Incredible. Ma'yehe b'damin. So we'll say the last element of the Mishnah, last aspect of the Mishnah is, after I assess and I sell, what do I do with the money? What do I do with the money? So this is a machlok. No, let me take it back. Obviously, what I'm doing with the money is, I'm holding the money until the owner comes along. He's going to have to give me a simen in the animal. So you have to remember, by the way, you have to remember the animal, right? So take some selfies before you go ahead and, right? You just have to remember the animal, right? So go ahead, and then after that, he's going to come, give me this money, I'm going to give him back the money. The shayla is, Rabbi Osei, while I'm holding the money, do I have rights of usage in that money? So that's machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, yes, I have rights of usage in the money. Rabbi Akiva says, no, I do not. They both say that has a secondary ramification. What's secondary ramification? Let's say something happens to the money, right? We'll see, it's stolen, it's lost. What's my obligation? So again, Rabbi Tarfon, who allows usage always comes with heightened responsibility. Absence of usage comes with diminished responsibility. So here we go. So my Yisrael Gemara says, Adkan lo pligi, Rabosei, top of Chav Test, 29a. Adkan lo pligi, Ela kishen ishtamishpon. Rabosei, just to be clear, the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, right, is only in a case where you've actually used the money. In other words, let's say, right, I found the animal is not self-sustaining, I evaluate it, I sell it, I have the money. So Rabbi Osei, so the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Tarfon about responsibility if something happens to the money is only if I've actually used it. However, let's say I never used the money. So I sold the donkey, it's worth $1,000, I put in escrow, right? So I put in an account, nothing or whatever. I put it under the mattress, you know. I didn't use it. So I'm avdu potter. Everyone agrees that if something happens to the money, if it's lost, I'm potter. So this is a very interesting qualification of the machlokes. So Mar says, lema tehevetiv to Rabbi Yosef. This would seem to be a refutation of Rabbi Yosef. What does Rabbi Yosef say? The itmar shomer aveda was in general. What is the status of a person who is watching a lost object? Right. So I find an object in general. Both said, not even a case of selling. In general, I find an object and now I am watching over it. What is the status of a shomer aveda? Rabbi Amar ke shomer chinam. Rabbi says, I am like an unpaid custodian. Now, both say, as an unpaid custodian, what does that mean? The only thing I'm obligated for is what? Pshia, negligence. Right? Anything else on Potiphar is lost, it's stolen. I'm the only thing I'm obligated for is Pshia. Rav Yosef, I'm a Kishomer Sachar. Rav Yosef says, no, halacha lemaisa, you are like a paid custodian, a Shomer Sachar. Now listen, obviously a paid custodian has a heightened level of responsibility. So as a paid custodian, I am responsible ultimately again for if the object is lost. Right? I'm obligated if the object is stolen. So the Gemara says, I'm the Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Bigineva va'aveda tikuli amlo pligi dechai. So listen, now Rav Yosef comes along and qualifies this. Rav Yosef says, the truth is, if I find, right, I found the donkey, I sold it, I have the money. Rav Yosef will posit as follows. He will say like this. If the money is stolen or lost, everyone agrees that I'm chayiv. I the finder, the shomer, I'm chayiv. Ki pligi, where's the machlokes? Ba'onsin the shoel. We'll say the machlokes is what happens if it's an onis, an extenuating circumstance. Rabbi Tarfon Sover will say, now watch this. Rabbi Tarfon Sover, sharu le rabbanu l'shtemushe begavayhu. But see, first white line. Watch this. Rabbi Tarfon says, now look. When I go ahead and I sell off the donkey, and now I have the money, so the rabbis give me the right to use the money. Because I have the right to use the money, therefore what? Therefore I'm a shoel. I'm a borrower. If I'm a borrower, I will say, then what? Then really I'm chai for everything. Remember, a shoel, a borrower, has the highest level of responsibility. So because I have the right to use the money, therefore I am a shoel, therefore I'm a borrower. As a borrower, I have liability for anything and everything that happens to that money. Rabbi Akiva Savar Lo Shah Rabban Ali Lishtamushi Begarayu. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says, no, I don't have the right to use the money. Because I don't have the right to use the money, therefore what? Therefore, Lo Havi Shoel Alayhu. I'm not a Shoel. Because I'm not a Shoel, therefore what? I don't have responsibility. They will say, now here's what's interesting. I don't have responsibility for Ones. Right? I will, according to this approach, I do have responsibility for Gineva Va'aveda, for if it's stolen or lost, but don't have responsibility for Ones. So the Gemara says, Ihaki, if that's the case, Lefichach Da'am Rabbi Akiva Lamali. So we'll say, if that's the case, why is it that in the Mishnah it says, Lefichach, if you lost it, you're not Chayiv Ba'achrayis. So the Gemara says, "Iamet b'shlama b'gneiva va'aveidu hu depligi." So if you say that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are arguing about responsibility in a case where the object is lost or stolen, "Haynu diktani Rabbi Akiva Omer lo yishtamish b'hem." Then it makes sense. Then the Mishnah makes sense. Rabbi Akiva said, "You can't use the money." Therefore, lefichach, if you did, im avdu einu chay b'achriyusan. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Therefore, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva says, "You can't use the money," and therefore, again, if it's lost, you're not chay b'achriyus. Because you would have thought, Shomer Sachar Havi Kid Rav Yosef, Ubigineva Vavei the Mechayiv, you would have thought that someone who watches money, right? In other words, I found an object, I sold it, I now have the money. You would have thought the halacha is that I am a Shomer Sachar, and therefore I am Chayiv in Gineva Vaveda, Kamash Malon, Lefichach, Hashta, the Amrit, Lo Yishtamish Bohem, Shomer Sachar, Lo Havi, Velo Mechayiv, Gineva Vaveda. So we'll say, that makes sense. That makes sense. Rabbi Akiva is saying is like this. You're not allowed to use the money. And therefore what? Because you're not allowed to use the money, you're not a Shomer Sachar. Therefore, because you're not a Shomer Sachar, if the money is lost or stolen, then what's the halacha? I'm not chayiv. That makes sense. But if it's as you just said before, that everyone agrees that in Gneva in Aveda, I am chayiv, right? I am chayiv. So the Gemara says, and ki pligi da'onsin the shoel, and the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon is whether or not I'm chayiv for extenuating circumstances, my lefichach to Rabbi Akiva. Then I will say, Rabbi Akiva's statement in the Mishnah makes no sense. It makes no sense. To which the Gemara says, hachimi b'ayle the Mishnah, so we'll say, if you're saying that everyone agrees that you're chayiv for gneva v'aveda, and the only machlokes is an onsin de shoel, an ones case, right? Because he's viewed like a borrower, then the Mishnah should have said as follows. So, Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo yishtamish bohen. Rabbi Kiva should just say, you're not allowed to use the money. And then I would have known, va'ani yedano, techivin de lo yishtamish bohen, lav shoel havi. And then I would have known, from the fact that Rabbi Kiva says you can't use the money, if you can't use it, then what? Then what? You're not a shoel. If you're not a shoel, then what? If you're not an artist, I will say, obviously, if you can't use something, you're not a borrower. If you can, and if you're not a borrower, then what? You're not chayv in own sin. Ain't no chayv achriyusan. So, lefichach, Rabbi Akiva lamali. So, why did Rabbi Akiva has that statement? Lefichach, To which the Gemara says, you're right, Mishum Lefichach to Rabbi Tarfon. But say the truth is, that is only there in order to make it mishnaically symmetrical to the Lefichach of Rabbi Tarfon. To which the Gemara says, Lefichach to Rabbi Tarfon Lamali, why do I need the Lefichach of Rabbi Tarfon? So the Gemara says, Halachika, this is what it means to say. Kevan de Sharle Rabban Lishtamushe Begavayu, Havi Kiman de Ishtamish Begavayu Dami, Vichaye Ba'achre Yusan. So Rabbi said, this is very interesting. The Lefichach of Rabbi Tarfon is actually coming to teach you the following lesson. Remember, Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion that when I find the object, then I sell it because it's not self-sustaining. And therefore now I have the money. I have the money. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? I am allowed to use the money. Now because I am allowed to use the money, therefore essentially, according to Rabbi Tarfon, I become like a shoel. Like a borrower, and therefore again, aloch l'maisa, I'm chayif. What happens to the object? So, what's the lefichach? Another Rabbi will say, what the Gemara is bothered by is that lefichach statement seems to be extraneous, right? Rabbi Tarfon says you're allowed to use the money. Therefore, if it's lost, you're chayif. You're responsible. That's obvious. Another Rabbi will say, let's take this a step further, right? If I'm allowed to use the object, what's my status? What's my status? A shoel. I'm a borrower. What's aloch with the borrower? Full responsibility for anything and everything. So, if I'm allowed to use it, I'm a shoel. If I'm a shoel, of course I'm responsible for everything. Why does Rabbi Tarfon have to say, why does he have to say, lefichach, im avdu chai b'achri yusan? That statement is unnecessary. So, we'll say, this is incredible. So, the Gemara says, what it teaches me is as follows. According to Rabbi Tarfon, once I, as the finder, have the right to use the money, I have responsibility even before I use the money. I was about to say, watch this. I might have thought like this. Let's play this out. Okay, now here's the case in its entirety. I'm on my business. I find the donkey. I'm a good Jew. I see the donkey. I take the donkey. I try to sustain it. We try to get along. It doesn't work. Right? I evaluate it. I sell it. Now I have $1,000 of donkey money sitting in my possession. I say to myself, you know what? You know what? I don't want to deal with this. Here's what I'm going to do is I'm not using this money. I'm putting it on the side. I'm putting it away. The owner will come. I remember Simon with the donkey, Shalom al Yisrael. I would have thought that because I didn't use the money, therefore what? When it comes to this money, I'm like a Shomer Chinam. Kamash Rabbi Tarfon says, since you have usage rights, you are a Shoel on that money from the beginning, even if you never used it. That's what the Lefichach means is, even if you make a conscious decision, I'm not using the money, doesn't make a difference. You are a shoel. It was incredible, right? You are a shoel on that money. Since you have the right to use it, you are a shoel on that money from the beginning. That's why, lefichach. Therefore, if that money is lost or something happens to that money, even though you never used it, you made the conscious decision not to use it, you're responsible for it. Incredible. That's what he says. He says, since the rabbis gave you the right of usage on it, it says, if you've used it, incredible. I bahava avdu katani. But the lashon of here is that it says avdu, that you lost it, which sounds like there was usage. So the Gemara says, kidraba on the base, and with base 29b, kidrab damar rabba, nignavu balistim izuyin, avdu shetavu sinas alayam. So we'll say rabba, we'll see this actually later on in the Gemara, that rabba explains these cases of nignavu as armed robbers, and avdu as the boat sank, and therefore there was the loss was a result of that. Okay, I'm going to read them Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says, ultimately, the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon. So also remember again, so Rabbi Tarfon in the Mishnah was the one that said, halacha l'maisa, when you sell the object, you have usage rights over the money. And because you have usage rights over the money, effectively, you're a shoel. You're a borrower. Because also remember again, once you have usage, you can't be a shomer sacher, right? Because remember again, generally, a shomer has responsibility to guard the object, doesn't really have usage. It's only a shoel who has usage. So now the Gemara says, the Allah is a great tarfon, and therefore again, I'm going to say two things. Number one, you're allowed to use the money, or three things. Number one, you're allowed to use the money. Number two, that makes you effectively a shoel. Number three, as a shoel, you're chai for everything. And now I will say, the kunst is going to be, once you are a shoel, you are responsible for that money, for all everything that happens to the money, even if what? as you just said before, even if you choose never to actively use it. Incredible. Incredible. So the Gemara says, "Biyad Rachba Habileh Hano Zuzi Diyasmi." So the Gemara tells a story over here. This guy Rachba, guy, this man Rachba, had money of orphans. He was responsible. Like this was like an apotropos. He was responsible, like the attorney for the Yisomim. See, he had money in his possession that belonged to the Yisomim. So what happened? Us the Kamei Rav Yosef. So he came before Rav Yosef. Amar Lehu. So this is interesting. So this man Rachba had a question. He says, "Listen, I am responsible for safeguarding the money of the orphans. Do I have the right to use this money while I'm guarding it? In other words, I got it. I'm assuming full responsibility. Can I invest it? Can I utilize it? In other words, again, I'm responsible for it. But in that responsibility, do I have the right to use it in the interim?" So listen to this. Amar Lehi Haki, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbi Tarfon. So we learned the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon. It's like Rabbi Tarfon. Amar Lehi Abaye. So we'll say, and that sounds like what? What does Rabbi Tarfon say in the Mishnah? You're allowed to use the money in the interim until the owner comes and claims it. So Amar Lehi Abaye. Abaye says, one second. Lav itmar lam Rabbi Chala on Rav Huna. Lo shara ela b'dmei aveda hoil v'tarach ba. So we'll say, so now this all makes a little bit more sense. Why does Rabbi Tarfon say that Allah is allowed to use the money? Right? In other words, I find the donkey. The donkey is not self-sustaining or self-sustaining for a little while, but even if it's self-sustaining, I don't have to hold on to it forever. I assess it and I sell it. Now I have the proceeds. Rabbi Tarfon says, you could use the money. Why does Rabbi Tarfon say you're allowed to use the money? Because Allah, it will say, it's almost like, to a certain degree, like a benefit that I get because of the tircha. Right? Watching a lost object and caring for a lost object, and even after I assess it and sell it, having the responsibility to watch over someone else's money is like a big thing. It's a big thing. And again, it's not like someone, Hashem Baruch Hu, asked me to do it. I'm taking on additional responsibility. Rabbi Tarfon says, because you have that additional responsibility, we give you like a perk. What's the perk? What's the perk of the job of watching a lost object? You could use the money in the interim. So the Gemara says, Aval Ma'os Aveda. I'm sorry, but Dmei Aveda. They will say, now when is that? So again, now also, this is something very specific in what we call Dmei Aveda. Dmei Aveda means almost like this. I found an animal, I kept the animal for a certain amount of time, I had to get an appraisal, I had to find a buyer, I have to get the money. There's a lot involved in that. So Chazal said, with all that tircha, the benefit we give you is you have use of the money. Not yours, obviously, you have to give it back, but you have use of the money. Let's be clear about something. Let's say I find money. And I find money, remember we had the money sugya. I find money in a way, let's say tziburin, or like markalish. In other words, I find it in a way where clearly there was intentional placement, in which case I have an obligation to announce it. In that case, Rabosai, you don't have the right to use the money. Right? Why not? What's the distinction? It's very simple. In the second case, there's no tircha. There's no real effort involved. In the first case, there was tremendous tircha. So where there is tircha, again, I find the animal, sustain the animal, assess the animal, sell the animal, all this stuff. Chazal gave me the right, or Rabbi Tarfon gives me the right, to utilize the money. But if you just find money, you put it on the side, you wait for the owner to claim it. The Gemara says, Vahani kima'os aveda dami. In this case of the money of the orphans of Osai, that's like finding money. And therefore, again, Rachba, you don't have the right to use it. Amar Lehi, Rav Yosef's, who did they come before? Rav Yosef, sorry. So Rav Yosef says, Amar Lehi, Zil lo shafkulei da'ashvila. So Rav Yosef apparently, who at first felt that Rachba should have the right to use the money, Rav Yosef says, essentially, they refuted me, and you don't have the right to use the money. So we'll say, a very interesting distinction. This right to use found money only applies in a very specific case where I found livestock, I sustained it for a certain amount of time, then again, I assessed it, I sold it, I have the money. Because of the tircha involved, Chazal gave me the right to utilize that money until the owner claims it. But that's only in the case of what we call Dmei Aveda. Found money, or for that matter, money, if you saw money that I'm watching, you're not allowed to go ahead and do that. So the Rambam Paskins, like this Mishnah, that Allah might say, if you find livestock, assuming it's self-sustaining, you're obligated to go ahead and keep it for a certain amount of time. At a certain point, depending on the item, we're not going to go through all of it. At a certain point, you assess the animal, sell the animal, and now you have the money, you return the money. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Tarfon. The halacha lemaisa, after you sell him and you have the money, the Rambam says, he says, yeshlo reshus lishtamish bohen. You have reshus to utilize that money. So both say, so therefore what? So because I have the right to use the money, therefore what? Halacha lemaisa, I am a shoel. Because I am a shoel, the Rambam says, leficha im nemsu kigon shetarfam gayis otavu bayam chayiv lishalim. I'm obligated to pay. I'm obligated to compensate. And he says, "V'afapi shulin shtamish bohen." So we'll say, even if you didn't actually use the money, since you have rishus to use the money, you are a shul. So we'll say, so bottom line, we pass like Rabbi Tarfon, and therefore again, I have the right to use the money. Because I have the right to use the money, I am a shul. And I will say, the great chiddush is, even if you never used the money, doesn't make a difference. You are a shul. Once you are a shul, halacha lemaisa, you are chayiv for anything and everything that happens to that money. Incredible, incredible. Mishnah, we'll say some really interesting cases here. Matzah Svarim, we'll say, let's say I find a safer, right? I find the lost object, the Christian safer. And we'll say, obviously, when the Gemara talks about a safer in this context means a scroll. I find the scroll. Matzah Svarim, so Kari Bahen Echa L'Shloshim Yom. So we'll say, now remember, scrolls, parchment, need to be aired out. So therefore, what do? I'm holding on to the part. I'm holding on to the scroll. I have an obligation to air it out, right? Essentially, like to roll it once every 30 days. So we'll say, remember, what's my goal? What's my obligation? You just open it up and learn from it a little bit. That's all. Learn from it a little bit. I have any idea likros. What happens if I don't know how to learn chas v'shalom? So what's the halacha? Go along. So ultimately, again, roll it. Roll it. So I'll say, it's very interesting. So what do you see in the mirror? Now, this is not a chiddush. But you see from what I will say is when you find a lost object, you're obligated in the maintenance of that object. Right? So once every 30 days, you got to air out the scroll. So the best thing we'd like you to do is learn. Right? Learn from the scroll. If I don't know how to learn Chas V'Shalom, roll it. Roll it. Avalo yilmo b'metchila. Let's listen to this. But if you do learn from it, you can't learn something new from this scroll. Now, listen, now what's the concern about this? Learning something new often takes my attention. And I'm supposed to say, the idea over here is I'm obligated to open up the scroll, learn from it a little bit, but just for a little bit. The problem is if it's a brand new inyan, let's say I'm learning something for the first time, so I may get very involved. And because I may get very involved, I may end up keeping the scroll open for longer than necessary. And then there's a concern, ultimately, again, of damage. V'lo yikra acharimo, I can't learn with the chavrusa out of this scroll. And I will say, why is that? Because when two people are there, what are we concerned about? Jostling of the scroll, right? And that may cause it to rip, may cause it to get damaged. If I go ahead, good. If Masakisus, if I find an article of clothing, Minara Echelosh Loshim Yom, Vishotcha Litzarka. I will say, if I find the garment, so what do I do? Also, once every 30 days, you got to go ahead and shake it out. Right? Or just hang it out, right? But again, it's only for the benefit of the garment. But you can't do it for your own benefit. As well, so let's say I say to myself, you know what? I found this nice snazzy cloak, right? So you know what? I happen to have a chasana that I'm going to. It happens to be the 30th day since I've had that. I got to shake it out anyway. Right? So let me just wear it to the chasana. That you can't do. That you can't. In other words, you could shake it out, which is logical. You could shake it out. You could shake it out. Because mostly, by the way, this also goes back to what we saw before. Remember, the right to use a lost object only applies in a very specific case. What's the specific case? Dmei aveda, right? Money from an object that was no longer self-sustaining. You could sell it off. But in any other case, you're not allowed to use the object for your own benefit at all. See, even the cloak. The cloak has to be shaken out once every 30 days or hung out once every 30 days. So you can do it for the cloak, but you can't do it in a way that benefits you. What happens if you find a gold utensil, a silver utensil? So again, you could utilize it every once in a while for the benefit of the object so that it doesn't rust. But you can't use it in a way which diminishes, potentially diminishes the object itself. Sorry, that was not gold and silver. Silver and copper. So we'll say gold or glass. Don't touch it. Now we'll say the distinction between these materials is apparently gold and glass, leave it alone. Nothing's going to happen to them. You can leave it for however long, nothing's going to happen. Apparently, copper and silver, if not used, I don't know, tarnish or somehow are diminished. Matzah sako kupa. So we'll say this last halacha is very interesting. If you find a sack, literally a sack, or a kupa, some type of receptacle, where it is not the normal derech for me to pick up such an item. Now we'll say, now what's this case? He's actually looking at Rashi just a moment. She'in darkol litol. Davar she'genayhu she'adam chashavu. Ve'in darkol litol kupo shalach nisa minachot labai. So we'll listen to this. This last case is actually an interesting one. This is going to be a case of where you find an object, where you would not normally pick it up. I was about to say, let's say a person, it has a certain stature. So generally, again, he wouldn't bring in this type of object from the outside of his house to his house. Just given his personal standing. If you find an object like this, such an individual would not be obligated to pick it up to do Hashavas Aveda. Right, so we're obviously going to delve into this more. We introduce this concept of what we'll call like zakin levein lefi kavodo, that if given my stature in life, it's not bakavadik of me to pick up this object. I don't normally pick it up in my house, right? So therefore, again, I'm not obligated to return such an object. We'll see. We'll explore that a little bit later. Amr shalom. So here we go. Hamotzi tefillin b'shuk. If you find a pair of tefillin in the marketplace, so what's the halacha? Some demand menichin la'altar. Evaluate it. Sell it. And hold on to the money. Masiv Ravina says, one second. Masiv Svaram Karibayan Echmo Shloshim. No, many odeya likros golden, right? Golden. Ravina says, what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, if you find Svarim, what do? Right? You just keep it. All you need to do is what? Roll it every 30 days. Or learn from it every 30 days. Golulin in. So you see, you roll it, but some demay umanichin lo amar. We'll say so. Again, by a scroll, it's not like the Mishnah says, valuate it, sell it, and move on. We're just reading from it every 30 days. So why by tefillin? About say, sounds like by tefillin, you find it immediately, evaluate it and sell it. What's the pshat? So the winner says, this is interesting. Abaye, so Amr Abaye, tefillin bar bechavu mashkach shrichi, svarm lo shrichi. So what's very interesting? Abaye says, tefillin are readily available. So because they're readily available, the best thing you could do is just sell them, hold on to the money, put the money on the side, and that way when the owner comes around, he'll give him the money, he'll get a new pair of tefillin. Svarim are much more difficult to come by. So because of that, the obligation is to hold on to the svarim and just maintain them once every 30 days. Very interesting. Turn around, on. Hashol sefer mechavero. Let's say if I borrow a sefer Torah from my friend, so I'm borrowing a sefer Torah from Reuven. So what's halacha? Hareza lo yishalenu la'acher. I am not allowed to lend that sefer to someone else. Poscho b'korebo. I'm allowed to open up the sefer and learn from it. But I can't learn something new that I've never learned for the first time from it. And ultimately, again, I can't have someone else learn with me. So also, it's interesting. These are the parameters of borrowing a Sefer Torah. So if you borrow a Sefer, obviously, again, I could learn from it, right? I can't lend it to someone else, right? I could learn from it, but I can't learn something for the first time from it, and I can't learn with a chavrusa in it. So too, again, if I deposit, right? So in this case over here, I have a Sefer, and I'm depositing it for safekeeping with Reuven. So what's halacha? Gololo kol shnei masar chodesh. He should roll it once a year. Post chovikoribo, or open it up and learn from it once a year. Im bishvilo pascho aser. But ultimately, again, if he opened it up not for the benefit of the scroll, but just for it, but for his own benefit, that is going to be aser. Sumcha says bechadash shloshim yom with a new sefer. You should open it up once every 30 days. B'yashan shnei masar chodesh, with an older sefer once every 12 months. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer echadze v'echadze shnei masar chodesh. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, a new sefer, old sefer, the obligation for maintenance is once a year. Okay, so we'll say, there's a lot in that price, so we have to unpack that price now. And the problem also is that there are many elements of that price that seem to contradict our Mishnah. So let's go. We're now going to dissect that price we just read. Omer mar, hashol sefer Torah mechavero, hareza lo yashan l'acher. So we'll say, what's the halacha? If I borrow a Sefer Torah, right? I borrow a Sefer Torah from Reuven, I can't lend it out to someone else. The Gemara says, I understand. My area of Sefer Torah, afilu kol milina, midam reshim and lakish, kanshan rabbi, ein ashol rashay lahaskir, vein asolcha rashay lahaskir. So he'll say, first of all, one second, it's a general halacha. If you borrow something from someone, right, or you rent something from someone, you have no right to lend that or to rent that to someone else. It's a very important halacha. Very important halacha. That when you borrow something, you don't have a right to go ahead and share that with someone else. That agreement is between me, or that arrangement is between me and the owner. And I will say, that's true for any object. So why are you making it sound like this is a unique halacha by Sefer Torah? I'll tell you why. So the Gemara says, Sefer Torah is shrichale, mal detema. So we'll say Sefer Torah is different. Why? What would you have thought? Nechale le'inish tete avid mitzah b'mamone. I'll tell you, I'll say, Sefer Torah. If I have a Sefer Torah, I'm lending it to Reuven. I want every yid in the world to use it in Sefer Torah. Right? Because after all, again, they're learning. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. Kamash malon. No, I don't. Right? Kamash malon. Then I will say, this is my object. I'm worried about wear and tear on the object. I'm lending it to Reuven. I'm depositing it with Reuven. Reuven can use it. If Reuven wants to, Reuven needs to ask. But stam not. So I will say, by the way, we're going to see this concept. We're going to see this concept of nechal ele inish titi avim sobamone. Then in general, I will say, I am happy when people perform mitzvos with my property. So we're going to see, I am happy when people perform mitzvos with my property. When? When ultimately, again, my property is not diminished. If, however, my property has the chance of being diminished or damaged, that's when I'm not so easy going about my property. So everyone says, as we saw before, Reuven is watching the sefer. He opens it up and he learns. So it's so pshita. That's obvious. We spoke about that before. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ela l'may shayle minei." We're talking about now a case of lending it. So I lent the sefer to Reuven. The Brisa said Reuven is now allowed to learn from it. So of course Reuven is allowed to learn from it. We'll say that's why I lent it to him. So the Gemara says, "Sefer shrichale obilvat shelo yilmod bo b'tchila." So we'll say, no, I need the sefer. What did the sefer say? Even though I'm lending it to Reuven, right? Even though I'm lending the object to Reuven, and because I'm lending it to him, he has a right to learn from it. Even Rosi, his rights as a borrower are limited. He can't learn something for the first time from the sefer. Why? Because then we're concerned there's going to be a little bit too much wear and tear. When you learn something for the first time, you spend a lot of time on the sefer. That's, so even as a borrower, he has that limitation. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem with this case of Hamafkid Sefer Torah. So we'll say, so again, all we're doing now is we saw this incredible Braisa, and now we're dissecting the Braisa piece by piece. We'll see some incredible Halacha Lamaisa tomorrow as well. We'll say, Shkoyach. All right, Chevron Zoom, have a great day, everyone.
Quick question. Yesterday, you had three regalim. You had to announce it three regalim.